If you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Amen. We want to say we appreciate you being here, and I will not be overboard with this morning, but I do believe God gave me something for you. The Lord was dealing with me about it coming down the road the other day, and I began to think about it and work on it and contemplate it. And overslept this morning, so I know God was in it. I'm laying there, and I laid over and said, "What time is it?" She said, "It's 6:01. I said, "My alarm didn't go off." I went over to hit the phone, and it's going, alarm, no sound. He said, "It's been going off for over an hour." I don't know how it happened, but somehow sound got turned off of the alarm on my phone. So I turned it back on and started alarming, so I went ahead and got up. Those of you wondering, I'm usually here by 5:30 every Sunday morning. So I was late this morning, but I already had my mind on where I was going and put it together, and hopefully God's going to bless. Amen. Ninth verse, first chapter of the book of Revelation. John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice and as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha, Omega, the first, the last, and what thou seest write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for your power, for your grace. Minister to us right now, God, and use us for your presence. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Our theme for the year is let God transform you. And I think one of the greatest needs in all of Christendom is for God's people to get a mind that they understand you are going to have problems. These TV preachers tell you they ain't never going to have problems, trouble, or trials. Some of them miss every once in a while. You know why? They got problems. They just won't tell you because they mess up their preaching. "Well, preacher, I just don't believe that." Then you don't believe the Bible. Many are the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God. So if you're going to be a child of God, you're going to have afflictions. They're going to happen. Those things that are accomplished in the world, according to Scripture, are going to happen among the brethren. So now, if you're part of the brethren, get ready. Whatever happens out there can happen in here. We can have people diagnosed with cancer. We can have people have heart attacks. We can have people have all kinds of financial problems. Oh, I'd love to preach that other stuff, but it won't work for me because there's a lot of places I went where I couldn't preach that stuff because everybody looking at me were good Christian people, but it wouldn't fit their life because they had trouble, they had trials, they had tribulations. And when you look at the men that wrote the New Testament, here's John, the great man of God. They couldn't boil him in oil. They couldn't kill him. He died of natural causes, but yet at the same time, he suffered tribulation. He suffered problems. He had all kinds of things going on in his life that wasn't good, but you know what? He served God, and he understood it doesn't matter what's happening to me in this world, long as I know him and I'm abiding in him, I'm an overcomer through the power of his love. Could you say amen? Amen. John had his Isle of Patmos. Paul had his Mamertine prison. John Milton had his blindness. John Bunyan had the Beaufort jail in England. But everybody suffers from things. I remember meeting a guy in Romania by the name of Ignatov that spent 40-something years in prison for preaching the gospel. They'd let him out, he'd go to preach, and they'd throw him back in jail. It was amazing. I met him. He was trying to tell us a scripture, and he sits there and quotes an entire book of the Bible till he got to the place and said, "This is what I want you to hear." And I'm looking at him, he said, "Well, I had to memorize it a page at a time because that's all I got, so I memorized the whole page so I wouldn't get away." Because in prison, they'd pass it around. One page would come under the wall, and he'd read it and send it to the next wall, and another one would come through. And he said, they wasn't always in order. Glory. And I looked at him, I said, "Sir, what is the results of what went on in your life There was a group of people in Romania joined the Church of God, 250,000 people that were part of a denomination he put together while he was in prison, because he understood it doesn't matter if I'm here. I still got a God who's out there who is able to do great things in church. What we've got to do is learn. The title of my message this morning is simply this: learning how to be two places at once. You ever heard that? You can't be two places at once. Yes, you can. And I can show you where John was two places at once. Notice what he said: I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What did he say right before that? I was in the Isle of Patmos. Why was he there? I was there because of my testimony. I was there because of the word of the Lord. I was on this island and all kind of problems, all kind of troubles, all kind of tribulation. But you know what he said? He said, on the Lord's day, I got in the Spirit. And I forgot about the trials. I forgot about the tribulations. I forgot about everything that was going on in my life. And I had a calming peace in me that only comes through the anointing and the power of the love of God. Can I tell you, if we can ever let our mind transform to what we understand, it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the financial people say. It doesn't matter what's going to happen in this world today or tomorrow. All I know is I know him and he knows me, and together we're overcomers through the... You ever heard this? Right? You do something wrong, God will punish you. Like everybody has a problem and has done something wrong. That'd be the case. We all need to be an altar right there. Hello? Yeah, I got a couple of you going, not me. You first. Lord. Years ago, I was riding down the road, and the Lord spoke to me and said, there's tribulation coming. I said, God, help me. I'm a C student. Glory. Some of y'all get that in a minute. I'm average. So when tribulation comes, I have to have help. Come on, church. We've got to understand that troubles come, trials come. But the thing about it is, if we can get loose in God, it doesn't matter what's going on as long as I'm in him. Come on, church. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire because they understood who God was. And they didn't go through it by themselves because God was there. Daniel made it through the lion's den, not because he'd done something wrong, but because he was doing something good. And he understood God's going to be with me when I get down there. The men of the gospel, the disciples, they were doing exactly what God told them to do, headed exactly where God told them to go. And they hit a storm. But the good thing was, he was with them in the boat, and he spoke peace be still to that storm, and everything settled around them. And can I tell you today, some of you are facing trial, tribulation, and chaos, but let me tell you, the greatest opportunity of your life is when chaos is going around you. You got a God that can bring you out. And glory. In English literature, we used to read a guy named Longfellow called Rainy Day. Listen to what he said. He said, be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds, the sun is still shining. Thy fate is common, fate of all. Into each life, some rain must fall. Some day must be dark and dreary. But let me tell you something, church. You never see a rainbow unless you see the rain. Hello? You don't know real deliverance until you had a problem. Come on, church. I never forget one time I was headed to revival and I was on time. See, some of y'all are late, some of you's early. I was always on time. That meant I didn't have time to pull out and stop. Storm hit. Man, I'm talking about it was horrible. We was all in the car. The kids was with me in Freedom. We were headed to Camden, Alabama, of all places. We're on the old Highway 69 and the wind's blowing and the signs are twisting in the wind. And all I'm thinking is, man, I hope we don't find a tornado down here, because that's what happens in South Alabama. And I'm going down through there, and it's raining cats and dogs and a couple of coyotes. I mean, son, it's pouring, and about that time, it kind of lightens up just a little bit, and I said, Dad, look. And that was one of the most beautiful rainbows on the side of that road, curling out across that sky. But you know what? If we hadn't gone through the rain, we'd have never saw the rainbow. And we need to understand, church, some of you say, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that. But sometimes what you go through is perfecting you for something that's coming down the road, and God's getting you ready to understand how to follow him. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you getting? Notice this. One of the things that helped John make the translation from where he was to where he needed to be, he actually knew who God was. He wasn't just a Sunday school teacher's idea. He wasn't just a figment of the preacher's imagination. See, if the only connection you got to God's what you hear at Sunday school, what you hear the preacher preach, you don't know who he is. Amen. If all you depend on is somebody else to tell you about him, you will never know him. Let me put it this way. I know a lot of folks. And you go with me to a meeting and there'd be people passing me, hey, Brother Street, hey, Brother Street, hey, Brother Street. And I'll stop and I'll shake the hand. Some of them folks I know, some of them I'm not real sure, but they know my name. But I don't know those people. I know them when I pass them. I know who they are by looking at them. I can describe you the outer appearance of them, but I've not been that close to them, so I really don't know them. And you know, that's the problem with a lot of people in church. You have an outer description of what God is. You've heard the preacher talk about him. You've heard him sing about it. Every once in a while, you get all excited about it. But the truth of the matter is, the question when trouble comes is not, do you go to church? Are you a member of a church? Do you pay your tithes? The question is going to be, do you know him? Do you really know who you're talking about? Do you know who God is? Do you understand he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end? Do you really believe he rides on the wings of the wind and that the clouds are his chariot? Do you really believe he scooped up the valleys and heaped up the mountains and the oceans washed in the hollow of his hand? Do you really believe that he popped the anvil of his grace on his hand and sparks flew and he thrung them into the sky and called them stars and named every one of them and put them there for us and made everything that we live by and hold on to? Do you really believe that God that can do all that would ever let you down when something goes wrong in your life? Because if you know him, you understand greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. See, John knew who he really was. Revelations chapter 1, verse 4, John, the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and forever. For behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Glory. Right before he tells you where he is, he tells you about the God he's serving. Amen. You know why? He understands that if I quit telling God about my mountains and start telling my mountains about my God, things start changing. Come on, church. Amen. We're really to run around and tell God about all our problems, but have you ever thought about speaking to your problem? Hey, do you know the God I serve? I serve the God that's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of all things. He is the mighty and awesome God who has the power to speak peace into my heart. And it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. I'm in his hands, and in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. And no matter what happens, I win. Hallelujah. Well, you might die tomorrow. So, if I do, don't none of y'all come down here. And if somebody shows up near me when I was a kid and they walk up and say, looks just like you always did, call them a liar. I don't look nothing like I did in high school. Y'all ever seen that? People are like, oh yeah, I remember him. I passed people I went to school with and they don't even know who I am half the time. I'm that different. I mean, I ain't got no hair now. Come on, church. If I die and you get up here and start singing the Great Reaping Day, I'm going to get out the casket and shoot somebody. I want you to throw down. Get excited because I'm going to be over here and having a big time. Glory. Some of y'all ought to be excited I'm gone. Don't worry about Frida. I've already got it all set. It's mapped out. All she got to do is show up and cry and collect the money. Glory. I'd have picked out my own casket. They took me back in the back and showed me a casket. Had a tape player on it. This has been several years back. Now they'd have a CD player. I said, that's what I want right there. I said, can you fix it away? Y'all can get down there and change the stuff so it won't be the same thing all the time. Glory. Be my luck. It'll be give them all to Jesus. That's all I'll hear for eternity. Glory. That's another story. Glory. But I got it said, I'm not worried about if I'm going to die or not tomorrow. If I sit around worried about if I was going to die, I never would make it. Come on, church. Some of you sit around, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to prepare for his coming. And I'm going to be like John. I'm in this island. It ain't worth a flip. Things ain't great. But I'm still serving God. And as long as I can get in his spirit, I can forget about all this. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No. Listen, when you look at this thing, you got to understand, Patmos was a horrible place. So what are you talking about? Man, this guy's 90 years old. He's on an island that ain't nothing but a bunch of rocks. There's no real vegetation. Everybody that's there went there to die. And if you're going to eat, you got to be able to fight for your food because it's survival of the fittest. He's 90 years old. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but he ain't going to be able to handle some of them young fellas that got thrown out there. They're going to eat before him. But he gets off up there and gets in the spirit, forgets about all that other stuff, gets him a couple of them stones and starts chiseling on them. They come back to drop some people off, and he's sitting out the boat dock going, hey, get me back to town. And he said, y'all got to get a boat big enough to tote all these rocks. I have chiseled out a great book, glory, because I got in the spirit, and the Lord gave me a vision. And I've got letters to seven churches. I've got the prophecies of what's going to happen in the end time, and I need to get this back to town so it can get published. Glory. Some of y'all going, preacher, it didn't happen that way. My story. Then I tried to boil him. They got him in a big old pot of oil and got it going good. And he was going, could you just turn it up a little bit? This feels good. Now, you young folks won't understand this, but good hot boiling oil feels good. Somebody with rheumatism and bad knees and ankles. And he's sitting there going, man, this feels great. And they got so mad they took him out of the oil. So what are you getting at? You can't kill somebody. God don't want to die. You know what that means? I don't care what the devil's got in store for me. I ain't leaving here till God's ready to take me out of here. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You need to have that same mentality that I've got a God going to take care of me. Let's face it, church, if we sat around and dwelled on the other side, I mean, Satan's running around trying to find those he can eat. Some of y'all so worried he's going to come to your house. I'm not edible. Come on, church. I'm so hot, he ain't going to bite me. I'll burn him. He didn't say he's running around biting everybody. He said he's going looking for those whom he may devour. I don't know about y'all. I want a sign up in hell that says approach with caution, armed and dangerous. So I want demons to know you fool with me. I'm going to start laying the Holy Ghost on you, and I'm going to put you all in the abyss somewhere. Come on, church. What was it? Brother Lee Brasher said, I want them so afraid of me. Every time a devil says, go get him, they're going, oh, last time I went, I lost a leg. I ain't going back to food with that guy. Come on, church. You want him, go yourself. Come on, church. So I said, that's silly. No, it's not. If I get on fire enough, devil's not going to bother me. While if you're living right, he'll be all over you. No, he won't. That's just somebody used to say. It ain't in the Bible. If I'm really where I ought to be, I may go through the fire, but I'm coming out of the fire. I may go to the lion's den, but I'm coming out of the lion's den. I may have all kind of problems, but I've got a scripture that said, many of the afflictions of the saints of the Most High, but our God will deliver them out of all these afflictions. What does that tell me? I don't care what's coming tomorrow or the next day. All I know is I am in him. He is in me. I know who he is. And I'm winning. Either way it goes, I'm winning. I'm coming out of this thing with victory. Y'all want to have problems? I mean, let's face it. I sit around and dwell on my problems. I go crazy. I'm not going to miss that. Some of y'all would correct it after church. It's all right. There's a lot of people think I'm certifiable. I don't get upset about everything that happens. Come on, church. I'm not a worrier. I read the scripture when Paul said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. When I start worrying, Frida goes into convulsions. Because when something get bad enough for me to worry, it's really got to get bad. I've had my moments. But in every time, God's come through. Come on, church. Why? And because of that, over the years, I have learned how to be two places at once. I may be in the midst of the greatest torment my life has ever been in, but I'm still in the presence of the hands of an almighty God that can bring me out. John said, I'm in the island, not because I've done something wrong, but because I was doing something right. I came here for the sake of the gospel. I came here because I'm serving God, and I'm going to serve God when I get here, and when I leave, I'm still going to be serving God because I know who he is, and I know what he can do. Can I tell you, church, my God hears my prayer. My God knows where I am, and my God has the ability to bring me out. Well, preacher, I just don't know. You got scripture for that? 2 Samuel 5:16. Elishama Elieda Elaphiliat. I'm not speaking in tongues. I just quote you scripture. It's three sons of David, but all three of them says something. God hears, God knows, God will deliver. So all I got to do is read that verse of scripture out in the middle of the genealogy of David, and I got a message from God that said, God hears your prayer. His hands are not short, neither his ears heavy, that he cannot hear your prayer. I can hear Isaiah saying, while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And while they are yet asking, I will see it, and I will deliver. I can hear the word of God when Daniel said, I prayed, and I've been praying for 21 days. And the angel said, from the first day, you bowed your knee. God heard your prayer, and he sent message to let me tell you the angels are coming with an answer. Just hang on a little longer. It's going to be all right. I got to tell you, church, I know my God hears when we cry, and my God has the power to bring me out, and he knows where you are. Well, you don't know my limitations. What about your liabilities? Here's a guy 90 years old. He can't get out and scrounge for food himself. He has only one choice. Just get in the spirit and depend on God. Now, church, y'all may not understand this, but I've always been the type of person that if I could get a hold of it, I can figure out a way to fix it. In my lifetime, I've took things apart, put them back together. I've had parts left over, but it worked. I was raised in a home where you didn't call somebody, you just fixed it. And I've always figured if I take it apart, put it back together the way I took it apart, it ought to work. Hello? And I've always figured if I can get my hands on some way, I can figure out a way to fix it. But you know, sometimes you got to just quit trying. And let God take hold of it. And let God begin to do something about it. Because there's sometimes your hands are tied. And there's nothing you could do. But I got a God who can move mountains. Hallelujah. And over the years I've learned if I just let God. God can do things the doctors say are impossible. God can do things that God says that the world says can't be. God can do things because God is in control. And let me tell you something, church. The God you serve created the laws of nature so he can override them anytime he wants to. And when he decides to override the laws of nature, they have to subsist to who he is, because he's greater than even the laws of nature that abide on us. And they need to understand that's our God. Doesn't matter what my liabilities are. Doesn't matter what my limitations are. I serve a God who has no limitation. He is all powerful. He is all knowledgeable. And he is everywhere. There is no limit to my God. He is all over the place. He's universal. You say, what are you getting at? It doesn't matter where I am. He's there. It doesn't matter. No matter what I'm doing, he's there. Can you imagine this man? He's stuck on this island. And I'm gonna get into this because some of you need to hear it. But when you're in prison, you got to understand you're only in prison if your mind goes there. Listen to this. Madame Guyon wrote this while in prison in China. My cage confines me round. Abroad, I cannot fly. But though my wing is closely bound, my heart's at liberty. My prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of my soul. Oh, it is good to soar these bolts and bars above to him whose purpose I adore, whose providence I love, to the mighty will to find the joy of freedom of my mind. You see, she was bound in prison, but she served a God that gave her spirit and power to be free in her mind. Could you say amen to that, church? John understood that, but he also understood what some of us have in loneliness. And I'm going to close in just a moment. And one of the biggest problems we have in the world is lonely people. There's some of you sitting right here in a crowd like this, and you're lonely because you've had things happen in your life. You throw up walls. You cut people off. You don't let them in, and you spend all your time by yourself. And you're lonely, and you don't understand how to get out. You don't understand how to let go. Now, I met a guy in Tennessee one time, and the pastor told me, said, "Did you talk to this guy?" I said, "He's really strange." I said, "Why you want me to talk to him?" He said, "Well, you know, just talk to him. You might can fit in with him." Only thing I could figure is he thought I was strange. Glory. I sat down with a guy, and he used to talk to me. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I used to hang out in every bar in town." I said, "Well, I guess we do have something in common. I used to be kind of messed up on alcohol." He said, No, I never drank." I said, "What'd you go to bars for?" He said, "Talk to people." I said, "Folks on the street would not do with me. I go into bars, some guy get drunk, he sits down at the table, talk to me for a while, and I had somebody I could communicate with." And he said, "I could tell them anything because they weren't going to remember it tomorrow, so they wouldn't tell nobody." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I've never drank a drop of alcohol in my life." But he said, "I was in a bar every night of my life up until I got in church and got saved." And I said, "Really, what's the difference now?" He said, "I got somebody to talk to that I can confide in, that I ain't got to sit around and watch him get drunk before I can tell him what's going on in my life. And I've got a whole new meaning, and I met people, and I fell in love with them, and I've opened up and realized I was the one that created the prison I was in." And can I tell you, church, some of us need to realize that's where we are. We have created a prison and thrown up walls and separated, segmented ourselves to the point nothing around us is any good anymore. But if we could ever let God loose in our lives, loneliness would no longer be a part. If we learn how to be two places at once, we can learn how to get rid of loneliness. Would you stand with me all over the house? There's a little poem I want to share with you. "Loneliness seems to be all mine. We seem to never part. I try to shun sad field things, but loneliness dwells in my heart. Mid dreams and joyful thoughts each day, there comes a cloud of gloom, darkening my heart with sadness till there is no more room. It follows me to bed each night and settles there keeping guard and covers all my happy dreams, making a tender heart sad. Making a happy and a joyful heart lose all the happiness it had, leaving a mind confused with worry and an empty heart that's sad. Life don't seem to hold much now, but things of gloom and sorrow. Living on seems things of doubt, a fear of what comes tomorrow." I'm sorry. It was written by a man who was very successful in ministry till he walked out on God. And he wrote that poem a few years later. Thank God that before he died, he found God again and got out of that loneliness. But there's some people under the sound of my voice that you've done so good at locking yourself up, you've locked God out of your life. You've effectively shut him out by not reading his word or praying and seeking his face. And just as this describes a man who's lonely and downhearted, he once knew who God was. He once knew what it was to be free, but he lost it. But the Bible tells me to stand there for the liberty wherewith Christ hath made me free. And if I can find that place in him, I've got a peace that can set me free. Father, we thank you this morning for your love. God, it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit that we receive from you. God, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in our hearts and our lives today. Touch us with your peace. Help us, God.